Yes, it's a pity his tie is just so boring. That's what I have to say. And on your left here, you'll see Rubinerd Show 225 for Wednesday, the 15th of August, 2007. Welcome to the program, I'm your host, Stuart Shade. That's a weird one. Host Driven Shade, always a pleasure to have your company, etc. so forth, and all the formalities, of course, coming to you from... That is a really weird one. Singapore. Always a pleasure to have your company, as I've already just said. We've got a bit of a smaller show coming to you today. It's 1:21 a.m. on Wednesday, 15th of August, 2007. I just can't sleep. Last night I had one of the worst night's sleeps I've ever had. You know, if I was to write up a list of the top five things that I hate most in life, it would probably lukewarm beverages would be one of them. Beer, coffee, tea, take your pick. Shandy, whatever. Warm drinks are the worst. So that's the first thing. But the second thing would have to be insomnia. If I can't sleep, tossing and turning in a bed is the worst. I'm sorry. It's terrible. So because I had such a terrible night's sleep, I ended up waking up at 11:30 a.m. today, which for me is unheard of. It's insane. So I noticed I said the word insane a lot last episode. It was insane. So I apologize for that how did that Jamiroquai song go? Virtual insanity, na 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 na. I promised myself I wouldn't sing as well, and so I've broken two things already. So I had terrible insomnia, and so I woke up at 11:30, which means that it's now 1:23 a.m. and it feels to me like it's about 7 in the evening. And probably these three or four Red Bull cans and a bottle of Pepsi haven't really helped much either. So I thought I'd just have a bit more of another sort of relaxing evening episode for your listening pleasure. I've plagiarized Franco Nori. There you go. Okay, so I'll be talking about actually something really exciting for me. There's no might about it. I'm related to Kevin Rudd. All right, if you don't know who he is, I'll tell you about all that in a sec. That's something quite cool. First of all, a brief check on the Rubinerd forum. Despite the fact that I've been so slack and terrible with these last few months in regards to the show and the blog, and you know how terrible it's been, and how I haven't done anything on it, and how you know I would use the excuse that I had lots of work and so forth, but everyone has lots of work. It's really no excuse at all, and I feel so bad about it. Anyway, it took less than 10 minutes or so after I posted it to get some stuff on the Rubinerd forum. First of all, Mr. Bunny said, "Yay, Ruben's back, downloading right now, ready to listen in the morning." There was a big smile on my face when I saw it in Google. Manny the Mailman said, "I did a double take when I saw the Rubinerd show being uploaded on my iPod. I never gave up hope that it would return. I will listen to the show this afternoon while delivering the mail. Welcome back, Ruben," smiley face. And Surrealist said, "Whoa, excellent. Just like Manny, my eyes popped slightly when I started up Google Reader. Yay. Looking forward to listening to 224 downloading now." And then Rubinerd says, "Thanks, guys. I'm really sorry about the audio quality. The next one will be much better. I guess I'm really out of practice." So that last guy, Ruben's a bit of an asshole. But the first three, yeah, you guys are so awesome. Thank you so much for your support. I'm so, again, I would use the excuse that I've had so much work, but it really isn't much of an excuse at all. So I will definitely be putting a lot more effort into it, and it's not like I have no stuff to talk about these next few weeks as well. It's crazy. There's so much stuff. So thanks you all again. You all rock. Thanks you all. thanks you all again. That didn't work. That wasn't that good. Anyway, one thing about not doing a show for a couple of months or so is I notice I say a lot as well. I have to consciously, every time I listen to a show, I sort of make notes about what I'm doing wrong, which is, I'm sure, is no good. The fact that I can actually point out things, lots of things I'm doing wrong, can't be good. And I'm up to 224. That's terrible. But one of the things that I haven't been able to do, seeing as I've been away for so long, is I haven't been able to play certain things. And one of the things is...
Hello, and welcome to headpod.com. And it is the 100th episode. And you're probably thinking that I have something very special. And I don't, because I got really sick. I got the dengue fever, which can kill. But I'm okay now. You know, I did have something planned and kind of went to the dogs. The next month, then all sorts of visas and stuff came up. Writing speeches as well, so that sucked. And then more stuff came up. So I really just want to say cheers to the 100th episode. Sorry I don't have beer, I drank it all last night. So, for now, you're just going to have to watch the usual crap that Ted Pod usually brings you, which is probably me in a beach or something.
There you go. That is so cool. So 100 episodes. That's insane. Ted Pod has reached 100 episodes. Mr. Murray, you are the man. That is awesome. So if you haven't watched any Ted Pod, I've paused at a really funny time. He's looking right at the camera at me. Ooh. If you go to tedpod.com, I think I've got a link to him on the Rubinerd Show site. Let me just have a look. Not sure. Do. Yeah, of course I've got him. Under Rubinerd Endorsed Podcast, third from the bottom. Oh, that's nasty. I hate it when you organize things by in alphabetical order, because the first thing is anything but Monday, in brackets, rest in peace. So and then Cranky Geeks, Crap and Stuff, Mac Break Wheat. Yeah, so Ted Pod's towards the bottom. I think I'm going to have to just screw the WordPress software. I'm going to hard code all these things myself, so that they I think they should appear in order of how I like them, not necessarily by name. So Overnightscape and Ted Pod would be right up the top, followed by New Time Radio, etc., and that sort of stuff, because that's terrible. He's third from the bottom. That's no good. So 100 episodes, Ted Pod, that is insane. So congratulations. And how come the volume isn't working on the... Oh wait, here we go. Yeah, it's one of the things when you have a mixer board is generally if you turn the volume control on a channel that doesn't have anything plugged into it, it doesn't work. It's a little tip. this is crazy. It's 1:30 in the morning. I'm still wide awake. This is going to turn into a really vicious cycle. I noticed when I was studying in Adelaide. I really miss those days, actually, to tell the truth. Technically I'm still studying, but it's externally, right? So I've been, when I was studying in Adelaide, I'd really get into these awful, vicious sleeping cycles. So I think by the time, when we were on holidays, the worst it would get was I would go to bed at around 4:30 and wake up about 1 o'clock, 1:32, and sometimes it would get to the stage I'd go to bed at 8 in the morning and get up at sort of 8 at night. It was nasty. And the worst thing about sleep cycles is once you get into them, it's very easy to go forward, but it is so hard to reverse. For me, I guess this is why I would never be a good business traveler, because my dad travels the whole world and just takes a couple of, what do you call them? Apparently, if you take Viagra, it helps, but I don't think you'd do that. I would hope not. What's that stuff that you take to help you when you're jet lagged? I've forgotten it. Ah, I have the worst memory of anyone I know. It's insane. I need to. It's probably the caffeine's eroding my brain cells or something. But yeah, it'll come to me once I finish recording the show. Trust me. So. Yeah, apparently you can pop a few of those, you know, and just keep doing his business. For me, once I've got through a sleep cycle, it usually takes me a whole day afterwards to kind of recover and get back into a normal rhythm again. So it's now 1:30 a.m., I'm still wide awake, which means I'll probably go to bed around 2:30, which means I'll wake up about 10:30, which means I'll go to bed about 1:30, which means, unless I sort of set my alarm and just drink a lot of coffee that day just to sort of force me back into a normal routine again. That's terrible. So I need to figure out some way of, because it's so easy to get into one of these cycles, but it's so hard to get out of it. I'm not sure. Again, maybe it's a train thing. Maybe some people are just naturally good at it. I don't know. I'm not good at it at all. Anyway, apparently, I'm not the only person who's bad at some things. I'm going to really shock myself now. I'll get to the bit about Kevin Rudd, the whole genealogy thing in a sec, because I think this stuff is fascinating, sort of family history and so forth. But before we do that, I'm going to say something that might shock everyone listening to this. In particular, if you've listened to any of the shows in the past and you know what I like and what I don't like and what my allegiances are and so forth, if you're sort of holding a drink and you have some of it in your mouth right now, you might want to swallow it before you spray it everywhere and cause a lot of damage or piss a lot of people off. I'm going to say that an Apple product sucks. Oh, I'm sorry, that scared even me. I'm going to say an Apple product sucks. And what I'm talking about is iLife 2008. iLife 2008 sucks. I have never had such bad experience with an Apple product before. I swear to God, this isn't every... I think it was back in 1999, I got my first... It was the iMac G3, what, the original blueberry-coloured iMac thing, the coloured one. Ever since then, I've been a Mac user. Well, on and off, I've been a Mac user. I've sort of moved over to Linux and FreeBSD somewhat now. But my main production machine is still a Mac. I still use OS X. I love everything Apple makes. Everything Apple makes is so swish. It's so nice. The iPod's just a pleasure to use. The MacBook Pro is such a pleasure to use. The backlit keyboards. It's just... And the packaging. Everything is just beautiful. And just it just seems that everything they do is just so... I don't know how to describe it other than synergy. Everything just flows and fits. It's everything they do is just great. It's beautiful. Except for iLife 2008 is an absolute waste of money. It's terrible. I feel really, really cheesy, and I'm not sure how King Steve Jobs or Sultan Steve Jobs or whatever he calls it allowed this to go through, because it's dreadful. Let me tell you why. If you've used iLife before, it's basically, if you haven't used it rather, it's essentially a suite of programs sort of revolving around lifestyle apps. So there's a photo editing program called iPhoto, lets you organize things. Now there's iWeb, which lets you create sort of web pages if you have no experience in HTML and CSS and all those other fabulous acronyms. There's iMovie, which lets you edit movies, obviously. iDVD, which lets you output things to DVD. So all in all, it's basically... And iTunes, of course, is technically part of it, but most people have that anyway. So it's a bundled suite of apps. Apple really heavily promotes it on their TV shows and things, because hello, I'm a Mac and I'm a PC and so forth. I've actually watched the British versions of those on I think it's apple.co.uk. I think the British actors are much better than the American ones, to tell the truth. But I still think the John Hodgman, I think it, the PC in the American version is fantastic. He's really good. I really liked him on Daily Show International as well. So I'm getting sidetracked again. I tend to do that. Leo Laporte calls it a rat hole on MacBreak. Merlin Mann and Leo Laporte call them rat holes. If I had to push a rat hole button every time I change topics on this show, half the show would just be rat hole. It's terrible. Rat hole. That's such an awful name. Anyway, but the reason why I hate this iLife stuff, iLife 2008 is a load of rubbish. Essentially, to me, some of the programs, the update felt like a small little update to improve the interface a little bit, sort of more cosmetic changes, and some of them are just completely unusable. So I'll get to the things that changed a little bit first. iPhoto, which is a sort of photo organizing program, I don't use it. Frankly, for me, it's much easier. I just have a folder called Photos, and in that folder, I've got 2007, 2006, 2005, and within those, I've got I sort them by month, so within the 2007 folder I have 06 for July and then space the day, so that way if you sort it by name, it sorts it in the right order. Don't you hate it if you sort things by date and you put it day, month, year, or month, day, year if you're in the US, and so you get everything on the first of each month and then the second of each month and then everything on the third. So, you know, you have 1st of January, then the 1st of February, 1st of March, then the 2nd of January, 2nd of... So if you have it in folders descending from year, month, day, it makes things a lot easier. So that's how I do it. And then that way I can put it on a shared hard disk and I can access it on any of the machines in the house. It's very easy. So I don't use iPhoto, but I sort of had a play around with it today. And it's very nice. It's still the best photo organizing program out there if I was to use one. But that said, you know, I don't use it that much. But from what I used, if it would be useful for you, it is a very nice program. And but the problem is, I think that the latest update, they made it look a bit slicker, but there's not so much in the way of sort of substance they've added to it. It's the same with iWeb, same with iDVD. They've seemed to sort of make it look a bit prettier, but there's not much in extra in substance they've added. The thing that they have really changed is iMovie, and they have completely changed it. It is a completely different program. And when I mean completely different program, I mean the interface is completely different. Apparently the code behind it is completely different. It's a completely new code base. Everything's different. Even the icon's different. It's so different, you can't even import an existing iMovie program project into the new one, right? So I do a lot of... from my background, I do a lot of video things as sort of demonstrations to show people how to use programs, right? So I capture a portion of the screen as a video, I open it in iMovie, maybe add some captions and things. TedPod would no doubt be doing something similar to that in iMovie, right? So TedPod.com. I think my favorite version, my favorite TedPod was the one where he was making the juice. Well, I think that was episode 78 or 79, something like that. I've got that on my iPod, actually. I ripped it from YouTube. Anyway, that was before I realized you could actually just go to tedpod.com. but anyway, yes, rat hole. The new iMovie program is absolute rubbish. First of all, you can't... The timeline view is gone. It's just completely gone. So you can't cut clips a little bit at a time. So if you've got a 10 second clip, you can't move the little slider over to the 6 minute mark and do a I think it's, is it Command X or Command C, I think, to cut or to trim the clips. You just can't do that. The transitions are almost all gone. You can't, and transitions have the same time for every clip in the whole thing, and it just seems like they have dumbed down the entire program. Nearly all the features are gone. Text features are almost all gone. It just seems like they've turned it in. They've tried to make a video organizing program, which I think is just stupid, because that's what iTunes was before anyway. You know, you can play things in iTunes. That way it syncs with your iPod as well. So I really don't know what they were smoking when they came up with this new iMovie thing. And you could, in almost proof that even the Apple people realize it's a load of junk, they don't delete the previous version of iMovie, the iMovie HD that came with iLife 06. What happens is, once you install it, all the other versions, the iPhoto, iWeb, all of those get upgraded and deleted. But the old version of iMovie just gets moved to a folder called iMovie Previous Version, and then the new iMovie goes to the Applications folder. So I don't know. The new iMovie is absolute load of rubbish. The new version is terrible. The old version was miles better. So I had the iMovie, the new iMovie, iMovie 2008, in my dock for about 30 seconds before I put iMovie HD back in again. But it just seems strange. I guess they could say it's for backwards compatibility. But why would they have a brand new iMovie, put it in Applications folder, and then keep the old one? It just seems, it's mind-boggling. It proves that even they don't think the new one is better than the previous one, because you can keep the previous one there. In fact, you can even go to the Apple website and I'll post the link to this. You can go to the Apple website and look at me, I'm really getting riled up now. You can go to the Apple website, and if you prove to them you're a registered iLife 08 user, you can download iMovie 06. So I don't, it's not only do, is it obvious to me that the new version is crappier than the old one, but it seems that even Apple are aware of it. So I really don't know what's going on. I think it is a terrible, terrible program. As for GarageBand, I'm using it right now, actually, GarageBand 08. Again, the icons look a little bit classier, and they got a nice little timer thing which got a little bit of gloss on it. But other than that, I can't see any difference. So for the very first time in my whole life, I am genuinely disappointed in an Apple product. And to tell the truth, next time I wipe this MacBook Pro, I like to refresh my OS every maybe 5 or 6 months. On Windows, I was doing it a lot more than that. I might actually just not even install. This MacBook Pro came with iLife 2006, and I might just keep it. So I'm very, very disappointed. Maybe if you're a real photo nut, I'm terrible at taking photos, I got to admit, or you record audio and things, it might be useful if you don't already have 06. But if you're thinking of buying the new one, don't bother. It's a load of crap, and I'm very, very disappointed. Taking a nice deep breath. I hate an Apple product. That's just insane.
The big ass juicer over 800 watts. Hello, Tedpod.com. I think this is episode 82 or 81 or something. Here's Ian. Say hello, Ian.
Hey.
We're going to show you how to do a major fruit juice boost. So we need one lemon, one lime.
Okay, go to, if you want to, it's episode 81 of Ted Pod. It's the one where he makes the juice. That one's awesome. So I didn't follow the recipe exactly, but actually we have a really good juicer downstairs. So I should follow his specifications a bit more, make one. That looks really nice. Superpower Boost Juice. So I think he also talks about Dignation on that episode, launching in Ireland. Here we go. There's even a YouTube page for it. See, it's one of the first things on Google. So there you go. That episode 81 was what I was looking for. My favorite Ted Pod episode. Anyway, I'm getting off, getting sidetracked again. 100 episodes of Ted Pod. That's insane. 100, like, and that's video. I'm such a self-conscious person. I'd never be able to do video. I think I did 2 video episodes of the Rubino Show, and that's it. I look at myself in the mirror and shudder. It's terrible. That's having pictures of myself on the website to let people know what I look like. I have to find pictures of myself that don't embarrass me as much, which is really terrible. I'm sure this is some sort of sign that I have self-esteem issues, or I don't know, that I can walk around outside and I'm fine, but take a picture of me and it just freaks me out. I just can't. It's terrible. No video episodes. That reminds me as well how so much of self-confidence and stuff depends on where you were brought up. So to me, Chinese ethnicities, people with Chinese ethnicity, people with Indian ethnicity, people with Malay ethnicity look normal to me. That's what normal people look like. So I actually felt more self-conscious in Australia, where I was born, where, you know, Caucasian people, mostly, you know, Caucasian people, I was around Caucasian people, and I felt really out of place, and I felt like everyone was looking at me, and everyone was strange. You know, when I moved to Singapore as a kid, I guess I was, maybe at that stage, I was too young to notice the difference between races. You know how you notice little kids generally playing, like, sort of preschoolers or kindergartners play in the sand pits or whatever, and they don't really care what people look like. It's only when you get older and corrupt and cynical that things start changing, you know? So I walk around Singapore, and I just feel completely at ease. You know, I get in a taxi, and I say, Suntec City, very good. And if he wants to turn the corner, no, keep, go straight, whatever. Do you want to go this way? Yeah, can, go this way. It just feels great. I get into a cab in Australia, and they say, you know, g'day, how you going, where you want to go? And I say, oh, here. And they say, oh, yeah, which way you want to go? It's a completely foreign world to me. So I don't know. Maybe that's a sign whether I'm screwed up in the head or... But it's nature, not nurture. So if it was nature, I'd feel most at ease with Caucasian people, but it's nurture. So I feel most at ease with people from here, obviously. So that's strange. Anyway, getting off topic again. Actually, it's not entirely off topic. It's about genealogy, right? Now, apparently, I read in the newspaper, one of the online newspapers in Australia, and if it's in an online newspaper, it has to be true, right? It's theage.com, which is actually an Australian print paper, but they have a website version. They've actually redesigned the site. It looks like they've just taken the New York Times and that completely ripped all CSS out of the New York Times and put it on here. It's just a shameless rip. It's terrible. But, you know, it's good when you live in Singapore to be able to read Australian news, right? So in this article, this was convict records placed online, right? It was once it was considered the great Australian stain, now having convict ancestors is considered a badge of honour. Right, because as we all know, Australia, the invasion of Australia and the aftermath of that, we're basically all convicts, or we were descended from convicts. So in my case in particular, on my dad's side of the family, they were first generation German immigrants, right? So my dad's parents actually were born in Germany, and my dad was born in Germany. They moved over to Australia, right? But my mum... was descended from one of the... My mum's side of the family was descended from one of the original convicts who arrived in Australia, okay? So this is really, really interesting. The descendant on my mum's side of the... I think it was my mum's side of the family. I could be wrong there, so don't write up a family tree or anything on my family by doing that. I think it's on my mum's side of the family is descended from this lady called Mary Wade. All right, so, and apparently she was just a tiny little kid when she was convicted of, I think it was robbing, well, according to this article, it says stealing a shirt, but I thought in our family gossip line, we said it was a loaf of bread, so maybe it's all the same thing. She stole something trivial, right? And so she was sent to Australia as a little kid. So nearly my whole mum's side of the family can trace their genetic history right back to Mary Wade, who was a convict arrived in Australia from the UK, right? So apparently, Kevin Rudd, who's the opposition leader in Australia and who pretty much everyone thinks is going to become the next Prime Minister because John Howard has just lost credibility with everyone in pretty much the same way Tony Blair and George Bush did for pretty much the same reasons, you know, the war in Iraq and his... really radical conservative views, you know, how all gay people are evil and shouldn't marry, all of that sort of old-fashioned backwards sort of stuff. So his opinion polls are really lagging, so Kevin Rudd could very likely be the next Prime Minister. And he's very young as well. I think he's only in his early 40s, so if he was elected as Prime Minister, don't quote me on this either, this is terrible, but I think he could be the youngest Prime Minister in Australian history if he became Prime Minister, right? So he's the head of the Labour Party in Australia, and I'm related to him. That's insane. Through Mary Wade, right? So it says, here we go. It says, John Howard's great-great-great-grandfather, William Tooley, was convicted of complicity in the theft of a tortoiseshell watch and transported for life on the Fanny in 1816. Meanwhile, Kevin Rudd is descended from a girl called Mary Wade, who was convicted of robbery at the age of 10 after stealing a shirt, right? So, and you can go to ancestry.com.au to find out more if you're an Aussie and you want to know about your convict history, so forth. So this is fascinating. Part of me, having grown up in Singapore nearly all my life, I am just so disconnected from the rest of my family. You know, most people can talk about their great aunt, someone or other, and their great uncle this. And my mum's constantly saying to me, "You remember Auntie Angela from XYZ, or you remember Auntie Margaret from this?" And you know, your auntie's niece's uncle's cousin's brother's late. Wife, someone or other's brother. You remember him. His name is James. And I'm thinking, no, I don't. I know my grandparents and a couple of my cousins and one or two aunties, but that's it. I really should learn more about my family. I should go back to Australia, live in Whoa! I'm sorry about that. I was just shuffling around my feet, and I accidentally unplugged the mixer board. It's a really fancy Yamaha solid, really solid mixer board, but the power cable's this really flimsy little 2-pin thing, and it's so easy to knock out. I'm gonna have to. What was that? This whole apartment is falling down in front of me. I need to get something to replace that. Anyway, so yes, I really need to get to know my family a bit more. I've got most of my family's in Sydney. I know I've got a very, very intelligent, smart, I think he's a second cousin, James Ross in Melbourne, who works for Red Hill Consulting, a really, really smart computer guy. And in fact, he even co-wrote a book on algorithms, which I use almost every day for my uni stuff. So, it's good to know there are other people in my family who are half decent at computers, right? So I really need to know this sort of stuff. Do you know your family all that well? Because living in it so far away from everyone, I just seem so disconnected. It's terrible. But anyway, here are some of the other facts from the article. I said, according to the website, this is about Australian convicts. It said 6 males to every female were transported to Australia. The most common sentence was 7 years. The average age was 22. Wow. So transported to the other side of the world back in the days where there were no telephones or internet or anything. That'd be insane. Not a single ship was lost in the 45 years of transportation. I'm not sure whether the convicts would have thought that's a good thing or not. But that is a pretty impressive record. And when the transport ended, 40% of Australia's white population were convicts. So, you know, people get the impression that... testing? What's going on? Oh, it's like... What? Is this... that's okay. I've unplugged the headphones now. Don't ever record a show at 2 a.m. It's 1:53 now. Because you start doing tired things and just crazy stuff. So at 40%, everyone gets the impression that Australia is just 100% convicts, right? But no, but there were a lot of free settlers who came over as well. Back in that country, so far away that I've only been to a couple of times and lived in for about 4 years. There you go. So anyway, I thought that was really fascinating. I'm related to Kevin Rudd, the possible future Prime Minister of Australia and the guy that I'll be voting for. So that's insane. That's awesome. Wait a minute, I said the insane word, didn't I? I said I again. Ugh, that's terrible. Anyway, as I've got a little sort of a thing to do now, because we don't have much time left. I'm not even timing these shows anymore, so I don't know why I bother saying that. But anyway, I thought this was very funny. Here we go. Is this going to... plug this in. Okay, now I heard this song. I was at a coffee shop. I think it was in late July, could have been, it was only a couple of weeks ago, right? And they were playing a French jazz CD, so French jazz, and I really like jazz music, and I'm always trying to find sort of alternative and interesting and different things to listen to. It's sort of like a never-ending quest for me to find stuff. And one of the songs I heard, the Champs-Élysées. And the guy, I only got the last little bit of it, but I've sort of hummed it to people. I played this clip for people. No one knows what this is. I've even got a friend back in Australia who's French, right? And I sent this to him, and even he didn't know what this was. So I thought, on the off chance that any of you might know what this is, maybe I could play this for you. So I've turned the volume way down on this. I only managed to record the last few, the last sort of 10 or 15 seconds of this. So I'll turn the volume up and let's have a look. This was recorded at a coffee shop in Singapore a couple of weeks ago. Right, so there you go. Champs-Élysées. Da-da-da-da-da-da. French. French. Champs-Élysées. And again, just like if I had it open right now, I'd play you Chocolate Rings. I know how much you all love it and have never heard it before. But just like that, before I found out about Chocolate Rain, I was walking down the street. Champs-Élysées. It's terrible. Just this impulsive sort of song. So that's the first thing. The second thing, and this is something which is definitely not good in the slightest. I have a Japanese friend in Australia, right? Actually, I met him at the uni in Adelaide, and he sent me this clip of Avril Lavigne, okay? Now, this is Avril Lavigne doing Girlfriend in Japanese. You have to hear it to believe it, right? It's pretty bad. Right, okay, so you've heard that, and apparently, it's one of the... I was talking to Kaide in Adelaide about this, and she said that any sort of basic introductory Japanese class would teach you how to say the basic things, you know, and even I took one of those classes, and you don't pronounce words at all like that, right? It's Japanese is it's very important to stress the tone, not the tone, sorry, the syllables, right? So it's very important to stress. Stress is very important. Stress, you know, I sound like a really try-hard boss, you know, stress is important to get the work done, whatever. So, and you notice how she sort of slurred a little bit of the words and didn't, it's painful. So Avril Lavigne can't sing Japanese very well. I can't even sing at all. And that's not to say knocking Avril Lavigne. I think some of her stuff is good, but you know, I think that's funny that she would actually... And how common is it for Japanese people to dub an English song? That's something that I didn't know ever happened. Oh, Champs-Élysées, da 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 do 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 do. I don't know what that song is. No one I know knows what that song is. A French guy in Australia doesn't know what that song is. I don't know what that song is. If you've heard that song, or if you know any French people who know that, could you let me know? Because it's been driving me insane. Now, we went to France. We actually, you know, walked along the Champs-Élysées, saw the Arc de Triomphe, that sort of stuff, back in, I think it was like 1997 or something. That was to celebrate my mum's first sort of major cycle of chemotherapy finishing. So we're all like, thank God that's over. Since then, we've gone through another five. That's terrible. But yeah, so the Champs-Élysées and hey, Atashi. You can't sing Japanese. Yes, I can't stand people who can't sing Japanese. That's why I can't stand myself half the time. So that it's some random music stuff. I'm sure if you edited that in iMovie 2008, you wouldn't be able to, because there's no timeline mode, is there? All you can use is this stupid thing where you import the clips and then you have to estimate things, and there are no time intervals or anything. I don't know what they were smoking. Honestly, iMovie 2008 is an absolute load of rubbish. Actually, the only thing I can think of that they would do that for is they would give people the older version of iMovie, you know, to sort of silence people, to let them keep doing what they're doing, while silently sort of telling people, we're giving you this new iMovie program that's really crap, so therefore we're not going to be supporting the old one, which means if you want job security, you'd better purchase Final Cut Express or Final Cut Pro, you know? It's a very subtle move to get people to move over to some of the more professional platforms or something, because I can't imagine what was going through their heads when they did that, you know? Why would you release a really subpar product as an upgrade to something? And this is supposed to be the premier sort of software platform that they're encouraging people to move over to when you're using Macs, you know? I can't understand why. A And you know, I don't even speak Japanese. Well, I know a couple of phrases and so forth, but you can tell the way she says the R's, the letter R, it just doesn't work. You know, and Champs-Élysées, da 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 da, le manade, le vado de. It's driving me crazy. Anyway, this has been Ruben Erd's Show 225 for Wednesday, the 15th of August, 2007. You have yourself a fantastic, I guess it's 2 a.m., so you'll be listening to this on Wednesday. Or my American friends might even get this on Tuesday. So you have a good whatever time of the day it is. You can get the Ruben Erd Show at rubenerdshow.com. Comments and suggestions can be forwarded to rubenshade, rubenshade, at gmail.com. Yeah, you have yourself a great day. Hope to see you again when I see you again.
Squeeze it down, get the thing on top, and then go for a good ale.